What if I told you that the person who might save you from endless bad dates, toxic relationships, and crushing self-doubt isn't a therapist, a self-help guru, or even a romantic partner, but someone who simply decided to stop pretending she had it all figured out? When faced with the choice between becoming a real journalist and staying authentic online, one decision led to 722,000 people calling a stranger mom in their DMs. This isn't about viral fame or perfectly curated advice. It's about something we're all desperately seeking: permission to be messy, confused, and still worthy of love. Through raw stories of heartbreak, awkward dates, and the slow journey to self-acceptance, we discover that the most revolutionary act might be admitting we're all just figuring it out as we go, and that's exactly enough. Walking Manhattan's Upper West Side, frantically scrolling through dating apps, this was the daily ritual of someone who believed partnership was the only cure for self-hatred. Never single since high school, always ensuring someone was feeding affirmation, treating relationships like morphine for anxiety. When a therapist pointed out this pattern, denial came easy, but that Snapchat notification told the truth. Society whispers constantly that women need partnership to be complete. It's subtle: movies, conversations, family questions, but it seeps in until you don't know who you are without validation. The breakthrough came with the 10% rule: only 10% of brain space for romantic prospects, 90% for self-discovery. This meant interrupting every thought to ask, "Am I doing this for me or to please someone else?" It meant dating New York City itself, trying restaurants alone, making impulsive decisions, building a support system beyond romance. The strangest discovery? Liking yourself becomes addictive in the best way. Dating apps are gambling for the emotionally vulnerable. The evidence lives in phone contacts: Kevin Hinge, Kyle Hinge, Jake Hinge. The real thrill wasn't the men messaging, it was winning, feeling desired, collecting proof of worth. Yet nearly half of heterosexual couples now meet online. The key? Authenticity and action. Your profile should be 90% solo photos with conversation starters built in. After 36, 72 hours of chatting, make actual plans. The 10-date theory predicts reality. Of 10 dates, 5 will be one and done, 1 will ghost you, 1 becomes a one-night stand, 1 isn't looking for commitment, and 2 show potential, with 1 eventually falling through. Most importantly, become someone you'd swipe right on yourself, because even when matches run dry, you'll never unmatch yourself. Flirting isn't terrifying, it's fun. The stakes are remarkably low. Either someone recognizes your interest or thinks you're friendly. Even rejection usually leaves both parties flattered. Eye contact is the perfect signal. Hold it for 3 seconds, 3 times. If they're interested, they'll likely approach. But confidence is everything. We attract the energy we put out. To draw in someone confident and exciting, exude that same energy yourself. The waves of flirtation build naturally. Establish physical contact, comparing hand sizes works surprisingly well, pay a compliment, men rarely receive them, create an inside joke, then lean in for the kiss. Those 3 seconds before kissing someone in a bar are electric. The world blurs, creating one of the most romantic human experiences. You can tell what someone wants based on how they flirt. If someone is casual and physical, they're likely looking for something fleeting. Accept this reality rather than trying to change their intentions. And remember, flirting isn't just for starting relationships. Even in established partnerships, keep saying, "You look hot tonight." Stay playful, be intentional with compliments and touch. Comfort breeds complacency, so keep flirting whether you've been together 5 months or 5 years. After 50 first dates in New York, the transformative shift was this: evaluating whether I liked my date rather than obsessing over their impression of me. Instead of placing them on a pedestal, I could view us on equal footing. This changes everything. Always prioritize safety. Set up a check-in system with someone you trust. Create a pre-date ritual to manage anxiety. Wear an outfit that makes you feel confident rather than trying to appeal to your date. Show up as yourself, but provide an e-light version, authentic but slightly reserved. Share one comedic trauma story to create connection while saving deeper revelations for later. Here's an unconventional truth: Ordering nachos on a first date reveals character. How someone shares nachos predicts their generosity in bed. If they leave the best nachos with all the toppings on your side, they'll be generous lovers. Watch how someone shares food. It reveals their capacity for generosity. Make a decision about wanting a second date before leaving the first one to avoid anxious post-date waiting. Be direct. I had a lot of fun tonight. LMK if you want to do it again sometime. Text first if you're interested. It won't change someone's mind. If you're not interested, send a polite rejection rather than ghosting. First dates teach us about ourselves, our preferences, boundaries, and desires. They're either the beginning of building an emotional home with someone or simply good stories. Chemistry feels magical, but it's only 20% of what makes relationships work. The real danger? Falling for an imagined version of someone rather than who they actually are. Choose yourself first. Schedule second dates within 7 to 10 days and vary environments. If you had coffee, try dinner. If you had drinks, try mini golf. Different settings reveal authentic character. Don't save their number until the third date to avoid premature attachment. The best relationships often build gradually, a slow crescendo rather than immediate fireworks. By dates 3 to 6, watch for meaningful signs, meeting friends, inside jokes, future plans, and activities beyond drinks and dinner. By the third date, show your authentic self. Don't unpack childhood trauma, but don't hide excessively either. You want someone to fall for the real you, the one who talks too much, laughs too loud, and leaves dishes in the sink. Authenticity trumps perfection every time. May in Ann Arbor. 45 degrees in the morning, 71 in the afternoon. Packing up a dorm room when an ex arrived, someone who'd made you enter through the fire escape, sleep with him, then kicked you out saying, "Get the fuck out," as though he hadn't invited you there. We need to stop asking those who were manipulated why they had no self-respect and start questioning what manipulators do to make someone feel so worthless. The only thing that really helps is time, a wise friend said. You have to greet your pain, meet the hard feelings halfway, get to know them before you can say, "I've had enough of you, you can go now." You have to hold something before you can let it go. Give yourself days of wallowing, watching romantic comedies, eating ice cream, feeling sorry for yourself. Then set a date for it to end. Shower, clean your space, take a walk. Remember, there's no timeline, no supposed tos, no one correct way to handle heartbreak. The heart is a muscle. When you pull a muscle, you rest when it hurts. We cannot convince someone to want us, and we shouldn't beg to be someone's maybe when there's someone else waiting to say, "Fuck yes." Eventually, time passes, and you slip into a version of yourself you really like. What you miss isn't the person, it's the feeling of loving them, a feeling you'll have again. Heartbreak is beautiful because love cannot exist without it. This is how we learn to love better. We obsess over romantic relationships while taking for granted the people who've been there all along. When a mother's best friend passed suddenly, two women inseparable since childhood, planning to retire together in matching rocking chairs, the profound depth of friendship became undeniable. Date your friends intentionally. Plan one-on-one dinners, movie marathons, wine nights, workout classes. Create consistent rituals, bi-weekly dinner and game nights, rotating between apartments, bringing homemade desserts and flowers. Between gatherings, maintain individual connections. They strengthen the group as a whole. Build community to survive your 20s. Especially in big cities, your chosen family provides comfort like a trust fall or home-cooked meal. Friendships require work to build and maintain. We experience friendship heartbreak, grow apart, or reconnect later. Quality matters more than quantity. One genuine friend is worth more than 10 shitty ones combined. In a world that romanticizes finding the one, maybe we've been looking in the wrong place. The people who show up for your mundane Tuesdays, who know your coffee order and deepest fears, these are your soulmates.